Bret Hart Radio is presented by Sharpshooter Funding in association with PodcastArena.com and Gao Media.
Are you a small business looking to get over, but you don't have all the funds you need? Well, there's a solution. Check out SharpshooterFunding.com. At Sharpshooter Funding, they know that they have a solution to fit your specific needs. Their team has the experience and knowledge to find you the best product for your specific situation. Whether you're a first-time customer or a repeat business partner, their team will fulfill your needs. Give them a ring at 416-238-0252. That's 416-238-0252. Or send an email to Dallas@sharpshooterfunding.com.
It's time to go down to the dungeon and visit the Hart Family Vault. The Hart Family Vault. This is Bret Hart Radio.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and this is an opening edition of the Hart Family Vault. And we're going to have a special day today talking about all kinds of different things. First thing we're going to do is we're going to introduce my sidekick. I got Blade Hart here.
Woo!
He's going to carry the burden of Dallas this week and do his best to keep up with me and keep me on track about what we're talking about. And who could forget the indelible and enigmatic Nick Houseman?
Enigmatic? You are digging that lexicon. The Hitman hitting all of the syllables here when it comes to the
track. He's got the thesaurus out.
I was like running out of words.
I will absolutely take enigmatic. I can't even say the wow. Blown away. Yes. To once again be joined by WWE Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart, his son Blade, of course, Dallas on his way to Thailand. But before we dive into it here today, into the Hart Family Vault for the very first time, of course, this show brought to you by Sharpshooter Funding. Go over to sharpshooterfunding.com. And Blade, I know you've got ties to Sharpshooter Funding. How do you want to direct people to go find out more about the business if they are a small business owner in Canada looking to secure funds they need today?
You can always check out the website. You can apply online. It's super easy, just a quick application. And, you know, we like to get back to people as quick as we can in a timely manner. So the best way to do it, just go to the website and follow the queue kind of thing, and you'll figure out how to do it. And you can apply quick, and then hopefully we can do something to help out whatever small business owners want to apply.
Awesome. Yes. And, of course, if you're listening to the show, guys, you are listening to Bret Hart Radio. Please go find us at Podcast Arena. .com. You can also go subscribe absolutely for free to Bret Hart Radio on iTunes. Go leave a 5-star rating, comment on Bret Hart Radio, let the world know how much you love Bret Hart and Bret Hart Radio over on iTunes. And last show on the first episode of the week, the Sharpshooter Podcast, we left you guys with the interview we started off with the one and only Diamond Dallas Page. So without further ado, we're going to start today's show off with the second half of Diamond Dallas Page talking with Bret Blade and I, and then we're going to come back right after the second half. We're going to give you the 4 out of 10 for the week, and we're going to answer your questions from the hashtag Ask the Hitman segment. So if you've got a question for Bret Blade or Dallas, I guess either Dallas, we got two Dallases now in the mix, go over, use the hashtag Ask the Hitman. Also, be sure to stay tuned later in the show as we welcome the OG of pro wrestling journalism, Bill Apter, as we move forward here on the latest episode of the Hart Family Vault on Bret Hart Radio.
Now back to Bret Hart Radio. Here is the WWE Hall of Famer, 5-time Slammy Award winner, 2-time King of the Ring, and now the podcast champion of the world, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Like, there is no way. Like, when we first started putting the YouTubes up there, what was happening with Jake, and then when Scott came in, you know, we put them up there so people could see where they are. And I honestly believed exactly what happened. Like, you see the one thing with, you don't see Scott because it wasn't his movie, but for Jake, that Indiegogo thing, where we put that out there for, you know, just, we had no idea. We had never done it before. But I knew they had this crowdfunding, and, you know, for our autographs, it cost a lot of money. So it wasn't like they were donating stuff for nothing. You know, they were putting up money for pictures or phone calls or T-shirts or the DVDs. And, you know, the DVDs are up now on DDP, not DDP, on JakeTheSnakeMovie.com, you can get the DVDs now. They got like 20 extra features on them. But we had the people who had ordered these DVDs never knowing if there's ever going to be a movie.
Right.
So when Jake, you know, we asked for $9,200, so he had no insurance. He had nothing. And we thought it was going to be about $92. That's what he had. We had priced out at. It turned out to be over 16,000. But we only put $9,000 up there to raise for Jake's surgery. We had $7,000 overnight. That's how many people. And this made a huge impact on Jake, because it had nothing to do with the money. It had everything to do that people cared. Yeah. And it blew his mind. It blew all of our minds, but it especially blew his, because he thought with all the, you know, some people have burnt bridges. Jake, as we know, Brett, Jake has nuclear eclipsed bridges. You know, he's just blown them to smithereens. But he does have a good heart. He is a good human being. Like, when I would tell him, I said, Jake, you want to stop feeling sorry for yourself? You want to find the other side of this? Help somebody. Like, you help me, but help someone you don't even know. I said, help anybody, dude. It will make a difference. It makes you feel better about you.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of it.
And I, on that note, you know, you talk about Jake helping people, and you guys have both talked about, you know, the great in-ring psychology that Jake had. I mean, do you see a place for him in the WWE in some kind of like a trainer role, possibly developmental?
You know, I don't really. I think he would be phenomenal.
So.
I don't know.
I think it's good in a lot of ways because he's got the right mind for it. But I just think the road, being on the road, would probably not be the best environment for him. It seemed to always be his downfall. And if he's kind of got himself on the right tracks right now to do it in a positive way.
You know,
going back to wrestling might be a big mistake for him, you know, unless he really wants to. I mean,
he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. And I got to tell you, he's on the road right now doing these more like spoken word with his daughter, Cody. She's his manager. She handles all his bookings, handles everything. And Jake will go on the road for 10 days at a clip, but it's not with the boys. You know, it's in an environment that's very safe to him. And he's doing comedy clubs. He can go into bars and whatever, not drink. One of the things he does is he takes an anabuse pill every day. And he tells people, you got a serious problem with booze? Take anabuse. Because the anabuse makes it so you can't drink. So it takes that factor out, and now he owns it, but he still does it because it's like, you know what? Why screw with it? But he's been on the road a lot. But as far as the training part, I'll tell you who wants to do that, and I think would be unbelievable, is Scott. You know, Razor, I think, would be, because I watch him teach his kid. I watch him talk about the business, and his mind is so tapped in right now. Like, he just went to the U.K., to work 2 days out there, and he stayed for 2 weeks to work with Paige's mom and dad, who have their own TV out there in the UK.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, Soraya Knight, that's Paige's mom, Soraya Knight. Yeah, I mean, the other thing I wanted to bring up, kind of spinning off of what you guys were talking about earlier that I thought was really kind of interesting, Dallas, is I had never really considered the similarities between your run in WWE and kind of Brett's run in WCW, because you guys were so known from your other brands, and then you were thrust into these new environments. I just was wondering, you know, kind of on a similar note, right now AJ Styles is coming in. He's been the face of New Japan. He's been the face of TNA. Now finally in the WWE. What do you guys think about the way he's been treated, and, you know, do you see any similarities between the way that you were treated when you moved to a new company?
I haven't really watched it enough to know. What I've seen is that, you know, he's had some really great matches. You know, and that's always what it's going to come down to for me. And he's in the top spot. I think he's been, you know, I haven't been watching it enough to really give a viewpoint on it. But I'm a big AJ Styles fan, and I love watching him in the ring.
Yeah. And, Brett, I mean, does that resonate at all with you, the similarities?
Well, it's funny. I mean, I don't know. Dal sort of survived WCW. You know, he was surviving before I got there. You know, so he'd been dealing with it, been there for a couple of years by then, I think. You know, for me, the one thing I never got when I was in WCW, I never got any kind of grasp or any. They never told me what I was doing. Like, I never knew what I was doing from one week to the next or the next month or. Everything was sort of chaotic with this is what we're doing this week. You know, it's like, and it was always like, really? And, you know, it was really hard for me to adjust because everything I needed a good storyline and I could sort of bring out my best stuff if I had a good storyline. And, you know, the one thing I had when I was with Vince that I was really, was really good for me and helped, you know, gave me the opportunity. He gave me a really good stage to work on. Vince gave me good storylines. He gave me stuff that he'd write out three, you know, he'd tell you like, this is what we're taking. You're going to work with so-and-so till SummerSlam. And then you're going to come back at Survivor Series with, you know, it was always like you had an idea of what you were doing. And then we're going to do this with you. And probably after that, you're going to work with so-and-so. And, you know, it was always like, okay, I'm good. And you always liked that. And in WWE, I always knew where I was going. Maybe when Dal was in WWE, it was making an adjustment to, you know, I don't know, WCW was more by the seat of your pants. You know, it was always like, you know, they'd lob you all kinds of pitches. You never knew what you were going to be batting that night, you know. And, you know, maybe that kind of sinking file where you sort of have it all sort of put in order for you. It was, you know, I don't know exactly. I don't remember what happened when Dallas was there, but I know that WWE's not for everybody. You know, not everybody, you know, makes it there.
I tell you what, I'm getting the best push I ever got there the last few years. So I'm happy as hell with WWE today. You know, I'd rather be getting, you know, getting to do the very best of Nitros and, you know, being able to host of that. And then, you know, getting to show up for the, you know, the 1,000th episodes of Raw. You know, that was a lot of fun for me. You know, and then, Getting to induct Jake, that was a big deal. You know, getting to be able to, it was on my birthday, my 58th birthday, to induct Jake into the Hall of Fame. And then to do the Rumble last year and then do Mania this year, without having a great.
Man, yeah.
I wanted to say, like, watching Jake's face when he got inducted was, you know, I think that's such a big moment for him. And I remember even when my dad got inducted after the stroke and everything, it was. That's got to be like the pinnacle of your guys' career. But when are we going to see you in there, Dal?
Well, you know, when it happens, it happens. And, you know, I've learned in my life, I don't wish for anything to happen. I really don't. I wish that it happens when it's supposed to. Because
Murphy's
I know
law.
That, from, you know, when I was wrestling, I wanted to get that opportunity in 1994 so bad. And it didn't happen. And then 195, I wanted to happen so bad. And it didn't happen. And then at the end of 96, it started to. And in 97, my career blew up. I wouldn't have been ready before that. Not the same thing with the Hall of Fame, but, it happens.
Yeah.
Well, you're very, very deserving. You got a super awesome body of work and just all the stuff you've done to help Scott and Jake and everything. It's impressive. I hope to see you in there.
I hope if they do induct you, and they should induct you in the Hall of Fame, but I just hope that when they do that, maybe it'll be Scott and Jake both out there speaking for you. That would be a celebration in itself.
Yeah. And with that, Dallas, I know the Resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts is dropping on Netflix June 1st. It'll be available for people to stream and watch on there, so I know it's going to find a whole new, very big audience of people to find it and appreciate it. Is there anything before we wrap it up here real quickly with you, DDP? And, you know, we've had a great time chatting with you. Love to have you on down the road. The offer is also there for Jake to come on and speak with Brett as well. Where would you like to send people to find you, follow you, and support you in the many ways and the many things you're doing?
Yes, I'll just finish with this with Jake. I said, Jake, there's two things you got to – you know, when you start to watch this movie, you got to remember, number one is you got to stay to the end. You can't leave. And I think that helped his sobriety, seeing himself when he wasn't in a good place. And I think it really helped him. And I said, the number two thing is you got to remember what's the most important thing about our business. And he said, the finish. I said, exactly. You got to stay to the finish, bro. And I think it's a really uplifting ending that leaves people on a really great note. And I challenge wrestling fans out there to watch this program, this movie, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, with a person that you know, that's your friend, that, and we all have him, who thinks that we're crazy that we like wrestling. Watch it with that person. That's the challenge. And watch that person get a tear down their cheek. You know, I think it'll really be impactful.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, DDP.
Take care,
hey,
buddy.
Thanks for having us. Brett, pleasure to talk to all you guys, especially to you, bro. Thanks for the words, bro. Kind words.
Take care, keep up the great work.
Thank you, brother. You need anything, you know where I am, baby.
I got your number, buddy.
For advertising and business inquiries, please email info@sharpshooterfunding.com. It's time for 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10.
I give it a 4 out of 10.
A nod to those who failed to excellently execute.
4
out of 10 on Bret Hart Radio.
All right, it's time for that point in the show where Bret the Hitman Hart gives his 4 out of 10 from something in the world that deserves a good old meh. Well, this ties in recently. There was a very positive story in the headlines as Kevin Owens and Tyler Breeze teamed up, first of all, to raise money for the victims of the Alberta fire. First, real quick, I know this guy, this hits real home, close to home for you guys. Brett, what'd you think of Kevin and Tyler teaming up to raise money like that?
Oh, I think it was really something they probably did from their own hearts. Like, I really think that there was something behind that. I think it's a great... You know, there's only so much a wrestler can do, and you know, with the schedules they got, and to give up a day to do that, you know, tells you what kind of guys they are. And you know, the Canadian wrestlers in general have always been, you know, good ambassadors for the business. They always will give you the extra mile, and you know, you can say that about them.
Yeah, and well, I know your 4 out of 10 this week though is not about someone or some buddies that were trying to raise money for these victims. What is your 4 out of 10 this week?
Well, you know, there's a guy that was just arrested up here in the news. Yeah, he was in some little town called Claire's Home or something like that. But he was bilking all the aid, you know, that all the help that they give, all the, you know, the support they give all these Fort McMurray victims. And he was applying and collecting money and getting money sent to him and all that. And they busted him and they caught him and exposed him as for you know, defrauding the government and the care that he was getting. And it's, you know, it just bothered me that somebody, you know, people are really down and out and these people need all the help, and there's always some guy that like, comes along that's got you know, it's gonna, you know, try to screw over the system and do, you know, take advantage of there's another guy, there's stories about guys up at Fort McMurray burning their own houses. And people catch them on camera, and they're, sometimes they burn 3 or 4 houses because they burned theirs. And it was just like, you know, it was the guy burned his own house down, you know. So it's like there's a lot of crazy people out there. I give some of those nuts 4 out of 10, or that's probably a you know, more than they deserve.
Yeah, and I know, Blade, you had some surgery recently you wanted to give a 4 out of 10 to.
Yeah, I got it's actually my birthday this upcoming Sunday, but bad time to get knee surgery. ACL knee surgery is maybe the worst thing ever. I'm not a big fan of it, so I give any kind of knee surgery 4 out of 10 this week.
Have you been through ACL surgery like that, Brett?
Yeah, more than enough times. Oh, yeah, about 3 times. Plus, I had both my knees replaced after that.
So I'm just getting started here.
I was about to say, are you sympathizing with Blade, or are you like, come on, man? I've been through this a couple.
No, it hurts. I can feel it. I mean, I don't doubt it when he's cringing and stuff like that. I know I was in the same boat, you know. I think probably any knee, like when you have that kind of surgery, it's, you know, it's gonna take a few months, and it's no fun. No surgery is any fun, and that one in particular, because you put so much weight on your joints and your knees, and it takes a long time to get that old form back. You know, I can tell you that much.
All right, well, there it is. This week's 4 out of 10.
Got a question? It's time for Ask the Hitman.
Ask the Hitman.
Here he is, WWE Hall of Famer, 7-time world champion, 2-time King of the Ring, 5-time Slammy Award winner. It's Bret the Hitman Hart.
So each week we ask Blade and Brett and sometimes Dallas when he's here, what is a certain question? If you guys would like to submit your question, hashtag Ask the Hitman on Twitter. This week, we only have time for one question, and this question comes from Georgia underscore DD or at Georgia Bowring. She asked Brett and Blade, if you were an animal, what would it be and why?
Okay, I'll let you field this one first.
Well, I've answered this question, I think, in my book.
Oh.
But, I don't know, probably a polar bear.
A polar bear?
Why? Is that because you're Canadian?
I think a polar bear just, that's what I am. I'm not a bobcat or a cougar or leopard, but I think I'm a polar bear. Good, strong, healthy polar bear.
I've always kind of pictured you as a lion with a mane and all that.
Maybe a lion. I think lions, you wishful thinking. Yeah, you wish I was a lion. I wish I was a lion, but
maybe.
Yeah, you. I wish I was a lion. There's lots of animals. I wish I could be an eagle. I mean, that would be so cool to be an eagle, yeah. Or a killer whale, But, you just keep dreaming all day about what you could be.
You'd be good. I could see you as a honey badger.
I wouldn't mind. It wouldn't be bad being a seal. It wouldn't be bad being a crow, even.
You've thought of it. It's like the animal you want to be, and you also know animals specifically that you do not want to be. These animals. I am not a crow. That's Sting's thing.
I think I would want to be a carnivore, maybe.
Blade? I know. I've seen a shaman before, so I've been given what's called a totem animal, and. Oh. I've been actually given the hummingbird because I'm all over the place all the time, I guess. So,
I know Jim Neidhart always wanted to be
a
big mountain bass or something like that.
Sure, yeah. Who doesn't want to be a big?
What about Big Nick Houseman? What does Nick? Bass. What does Nick want to be?
Oh, what am I? It's got to be. I was in Scouts. I am an Eagle Scout, so I'm an Eagle, and I was a part of a Native American sect of the Scouts, where I was a part of the Kalani Lodge, and Kalani is a Native American for Raven, which was Sam Houston's name he was given down in Texas. So I'll go with a Raven, and which is ironic because I actually had Raven as an agent when I worked here in Chicago for Billy Corgan's wrestling company, and Raven did not like me. We did not get along, which is unfortunate.
Well, he's not everybody's cup of tea either, so.
Exactly. Well,
did you call him Johnny Polo?
No, I didn't. I don't know. He didn't. He thought that my promos lacked witticism. That was what he said. And I don't know. I wish it had gone better. I like Raven. So maybe another time. Maybe I've become more witty, right?
Witticism a word?
Yeah, he told me.
I think he may lack a dictionary.
Oh, well, anyway, there it is. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in to Bret Hart Radio. The inaugural episodes this week here on Bret Hart Radio on podcastarena.com. Don't forget to subscribe to Bret Hart Radio on iTunes absolutely for free. Leave a 5-star rating, leave a comment, and we did it, guys. Yay!
All right. Celebration. Pop the cork.
Subscribe to Bret Hart Radio on iTunes. Now, back to the show.
Legendary 50-year veteran of the pro wrestling journalism game and the author of Is Wrestling Fixed? I Didn't Know It Was Broken, Bill Abder. Bill, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. And Legendary, I hope that doesn't put the stamp that Bill's an old guy.
Oh, no, of course not. I mean, I don't think we think of you as old, but
I hope not.
Young at heart here. Well, we're joined, of course. Yeah, I mean, Brett Blade Dallas. I don't know if you'd like to say hello to Bill here.
Hey, Bill. Absolutely. Long time no. I haven't seen Bill for about maybe a year or so.
It's good to hear you. Yeah. Actually, I think I saw you at a convention less than a year ago, but we just passed, two ships in the night there. It was so crazy.
I think I remember seeing it. So those things are always a bit like that.
They are. It's amazing because I never realized, now that I'm at these conventions with my book, I never realized when people like you would say, one of the guys would say that I was at that convention with some of your old friends were there, but you didn't get to see them because you were doing your own thing and you were both in the same town. And now I realize what that's like since I've been doing the book signings at a lot of the conventions. I don't get to see anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like everybody's being pulled different directions all the time. Some of the times those things were, you know, you have so many different guys there that you, and you don't get a chance to talk to any of them. If you do, it's just a quick hi and you're back out the door going to do something.
Yeah. So I was talking to Nick earlier today when he called me and asked me if I'd like to be on this. And I am so thrilled, of course, to be sharing the spotlight with Bret Hart and his family here and Nick Houseman. But Yahoo! I mean, that's great.
Yeah, it's very big news, Bill.
I mean,
you've covered the business now for over 50 years. And, I mean, this right here, bringing Bret Hart, you know, his voice and then the Hart family to the audio waves. This is big for the fans, I think.
I think it's incredible, and it's such a great step for what's happening with the podcast generation now, that this show is just going to take over, and it's just incredible. And by the way, I'm not sure you really have Bret Hart there.
What do you mean, Bill?
Oh, this is the real Bret Hart.
Wait a minute, Nick. You know, Nick, that who does the Bret Hart voice?
You do a very good Bret, Bill. Would you like to do your Bret impression for Bret himself?
Bret, would you mind? Let's the fans vote to see which one is the real Bret Hart.
Okay, I'm interested.
So
why don't you ask me why I came back to the WWE?
Would you like me to do it, or would you like Bret to ask you that?
Either one of you.
You go ahead, Nick. I'm gonna put my hands on my hips and watch this.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on the sidelines for this.
Okay. Hey, Bret. Why did you come back to the WWE?
I came back to the WWE to show the fans that I'm still the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
That's pretty. I mean, Blake Dallas. I mean, were you convinced that was your dad?
I hope not, because I cut off their allowance.
Oh.
I was partially convinced, I think.
I know. I know my dad can do this too, but none of us can do my dad. So he's got a hard
voice. It's a hard voice to do.
And I always, when people ever ask me when I'm doing my one-man show in relationship to the book, people say, do you do Bret Hart? And the voice that comes out is always this voice of Bret Hart. That's it.
Now I gotta say, Bill. Now, as good as your Bret impression is, I think that you should really give the Harts at least the benefit of hearing your Terry Funk impression.
Well, you know, this Bret Hart guy, he comes around here saying that he's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. But damn it, he's not a Funk.
That was better, I think. You know?
That was better.
We're pretty.
Now that we're talking about this, do you do any wrestling imitations?
No, I don't. Probably my dad would be the only thing I could do my dad pretty good.
Yeah.
So let me ask you. I used to talk to your dad all the time when I worked at the magazines. He and your mom were super to me. And so wait, Stu, can you tell me what's going on this week at Stampede Wrestling? So we could write something in the magazine.
What's that? What? Speak up.
That's
very scary. Your dad used to, he was so wonderful to me. And he always was getting into rhythm. He'd always get into rhythm when I'd say, Stu, what's going on? He'd go, well, you see, in 1957, And he'd go on a tangent, and then he'd give me the news. He was great. I used to talk to him like every 2 weeks.
One of the things I wanted to bring up, actually, Bret, is, you know, when Bill was covering, you know, the business with the magazines and stuff, I know there was always a bit of a weird relationship between the WWF and the magazines that would cover the business. I mean, were you told to stay away from guys like Bill Apter back in the day, Bret?
Well, you know, the rules were what they were, so it's like you could only do, like, if WWE didn't allow you to do interviews with the magazines, that was the way it was. But Bill eventually opened that door again. I go back, I don't remember Bill before WWF, like my being a star down there. I remember him and, when I wrestled in Puerto Rico, wrestled in Japan, I often met Bill. I think he even came up to Calgary a few times to do stories for different things like Stampede and whatnot, but I know that they were in the business of producing wrestling magazines for years, even as a kid, like growing up and you know, reading the magazines and being somebody that bought them a lot of times, you know, to know the history that goes behind Bill Apter and all the things that he's brought to the business. I mean, you know, I can remember a lot of great nights in wrestling, and it was always so you look around and you see Bill Apter, like, what, he was there. He was at that event, and he saw what happened. You know, he was a guy that was always around the business, always involved in it. The magazines that I remember were always represented a fair account of what was going on.
Well, that's highly appreciated what you said. And there were many times, you know, that I know that the WWF had their own magazine, and it was strictly a business move at that point that, you know, they didn't want the outside magazines having the access that they did. And again, that was a business thing. They never personally said, you know, don't talk to Bill Apter. I mean, when I would go to the restaurants or the lounges after the matches in some of the cities and see the boys, they were fine and were able to talk with me. And once in a while, you'd get someone like Brett, who knew that one of my photographers might have been in a hallway somewhere, who'd ask him for a photo and say it was for Bill. And Brett was gracious enough to, you know, to stand there and pose for a couple of pictures. You know, it's also a line where a lot of the guys, even though the WWE had a house magazine, a lot of the guys, and Brett, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the guys felt it was more important to be sometimes in the independent magazines because they were all over the newsstands everywhere.
I remember doing a photo with you, which Blade probably will have trouble remembering, but I remember I had the Canadian flag draped over my shoulder with Blade in the picture. It was right after I won the title at SummerSlam from Undertaker. That was definitely one of your pictures. I remember
it was
taking it.
I don't remember who. It might have been J.J. Dillon. Was that his era there?
Yeah, probably still around then.
Yeah, I think J.J. Had opened the door for me and just said that, you know, it would be good for you to get a shot. He checked with Vince and then said it was okay. But, of course, I remember that. And I remember being around when they were shooting the documentary. The
picture that we took, you know, it was the same night that documentary started filming at the Meadowlands that day when I had the SummerSlam match with Undertaker. So, Bill was definitely there the same night. It was a very interesting time, that documentary. It captures a lot of great memories.
One of the things that I wanted to do while I'm on here is thank you for being one of the many people that opened the door for me, even though I actually started in 1970, but there were always, you know, people like that wanted, you know, your outsider. You were one of the people who always, when we first met in Las Vegas at an NWA convention, and I remember it in the hallway.
I remember that.
I knew who you were, and you told me you bought the magazines and stuff like this. And I just remember that, you know, through the years, it was always you not only treated me personally nice, but in terms of professionally in the business, that you knew I knew how to conduct myself in the business, and you always treated me like a professional, and I really appreciate that.
Well, like I say, you were a legend in the business. You were certainly worthy of my respect, and I think anyone that really knew what your contribution was to the business would have had the same respect for you.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that I mentioned to Nick also when we were talking about this is, you know, I was crazy about Owen as well. You know, Owen had that great sense of humor, but there was another connection with Owen and I that I think you know about, and we shared a very deep interest of country music, and especially Colin Ray, because Colin Ray was like one of my favorite singers, and every time I would bump into Owen in the hallway or in an airport or anywhere, we would just look at each other and go, one boy, one girl, two hearts beating wild. We always did, you know, Colin Ray, and I still remember, did that country music thing ever rub off on you, Brett? Did you ever get involved in that?
No, thank God I missed, I found it too depressing, country music. I would have blown my brains out a long time ago, but thank God I found rock and roll, and I stayed alive all those years.
Well, a lot of people said that
I liked those like those sad country songs.
Always singing about their beer or their truck.
I played Pearl Jam. He hid under the bed. He was so frightened. He was frightened of rock and roll and what it meant.
A lot of trucks and a lot of ducks get shot. It's country pop now. It's not the same thing. But I just wanted to bring out the thing about Colin Ray, because I wasn't sure if you had shared that as well.
Well, it's always nice to think about Owen and all the things that he was a big-hearted guy. It's always 17 years yesterday that he had his bad accident.
Always was nice it really to seven?
Wander off and yeah, it's always nice to talk about Owen and remember him. He had a birthday this month, and he was a very special guy, and I know that everybody in the business still talks about him. And they still miss him.
He was a practical joker too, wasn't he?
Oh, he was the world champion of practical jokes. I don't know anyone that even could lace his boots up. A lot of guys tried, but they could. There was only one Owen. And the thing about Owen's practical jokes that were really special is they were funny. You know, he was a masterful prankster. He was the kind of guy that, you know, you never knew when he was pulling your leg because he would set things up so well, like well in advance. He could see a rib happening before it happened, and you just walk into it. You know? Sometimes you might be getting gas at the gas station or something. You go into pay, and by the time you come out, you're having an argument with the guy at the front desk, and it would all be from something Owen set up, you know, where the guy would ask, you know, I just remember lots of times coming back to the car going, I don't know what the hell got into that guy and why, you know. And then Owen would just be laughing his head off, you know, because it was like, you know, you just knew, I don't know what he would do. He was the same with, I can remember a funny memory I always think about with Mr. Fuji. You know, he phoned up Mr. Fuji at about 4 a.m. and disguised his voice and, you know, call him out and tell him to come down the lobby. That he always disguised his voice like a punk kid in the lobby that's trying to pick a fight and call him a Jap bastard and tell him, come on down the lobby, I'll kick your ass and all that. And Owen would just keep going and keep going until Fuji would blow a stack and go down to the lobby at 4 a.m. and be wandering around in his kimonos and his flip flops looking for some guy that call him a Jap bastard. And, you know, it was just funny because I would always go, that's Owen. You know, Owen ribbed you.
Yeah,
Fuji. I never even had the heart to tell Fuji that it was, you never told anyone.
I did. I have to confess something because this isn't even in my book. But I have to confess this, that one time after, you remember Ernie Roth, the Grand Wizard?
Oh, yes. I remember Ernie
so
Roth.
When he passed away, Paul Heyman was very close to him. And I was notorious for doing, Ernie used to love how I did his voice. And about 2 weeks after he died, I called Paul Heyman about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I said, the reports of me passing are greatly exaggerated. It's your pleasure to hear the round, dulcet, pear-shaped tones of the Grand Wizard of Wrestling. And then I hung up. And I saw him about 3 weeks later, and I told him, and he said, don't ever do that again, you so-and-so. So I know what those phone calls are like.
Wow, amazing. Well, Bill, I mean, I know you brought up your book there. As we wrap it up with you here in our guest segment, and we absolutely have to have you back. I want more time
with
you.
Well, I would love to, but can I give you a scoop that I kind of broke on onewrestling.com and on WrestleZone, is that Audible signed me to do the audio version of the book. And a lot of the wrestlers that I quote, the voices are in there by me doing them. And that will be out in August, and you can pre-order at audible.com right now. And again, this book is not about dirt. I never did that in the magazines, never did that on the web. This is just a fun book. And, Brett, I'm going to see you at some convention coming up, and I will make sure that I bring you a copy of the book, as I promised you.
All right, well, I look forward to reading it, and I know that I probably might see you in New Jersey in a few weeks.
Yes, at Legends of the Ring. You're there, correct?
All right, yeah, I should be, yeah.
Fantastic. I will look forward to that.
All right, Bill, always a pleasure.
Thank you all for having me on, and now I have to sign off as the Grand Wizard after you said, it's been a pleasure. He would have said, it's been your pleasure to hear my round, dulcet, pear-shaped tones.
Bret Hart Radio is a TJ DeSantis production. In association with Nick Houseman and Sharpshooter Funding, Bret Hart Radio. Its content is intended for private use only.